The psalm today is Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12, and 23 and 24. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks. The more I study the Psalms, the more I come to love them. Hope has said to me more than once, the Psalms are so very human. And I think she's right. They're full of questioning, sorrow, doubt, fear, rage. They're also full of joy, love, glorifying God, confusion, and mistaken notions. And I think that's what makes them so relatable. Now, I know there are some for whom the Bible is the inerrant word of God, and so there are no mistakes in them. I used to be one of them. Then I wasn't. Now I am again. Kind of. It's more in a metaphysical sense than a literary one. Suffice it to say that I feel the Spirit can speak to us through study of the Bible. Even through its patriarchal leanings, its superfluous legalities, contradicting messages, and its vengeful, hyperviolent accounts. I also believe that the Spirit is able to converse with us at a level of understanding which was not available to those during the times when these books were written. This is a beautiful reading for today, though. It's comforting. The reassurance that God is always there, that since God is always present, there is nowhere that we can go that they are not. No matter what dark alleyway or dank cavern of depression we may find ourselves in, we are not alone. Sitting by yourself in the dappled shade of a tree, the sunlight strobing through as the wind blows and comes, caresses your face, and you sit there and just soak in that moment of perfection. God is there. It's beautiful, peaceful reassurance, the constant presence of God. I used to love hiding when I was a kid. I was a champ at hide and seek. The trick is to find a place that's hard enough, you know, it's difficult enough to find, but not so hard that people give up playing and go somewhere else and play something else. And, you know, not that that happened to me. I also didn't wake up later confused as to where I was and where everyone else was either. But I love the thrill of excitement, the sense of danger when somebody would come close and almost find me, but then move on, and that warm glow of satisfaction that, yeah, I'm safe, I got away. I remember once watching three kids moved past me as I had shimmied myself under the car, under a car, and in between the front tires, and you know, just see these feet and shoes, you know, go by, and you know, they never saw me. They passed on by. Sometimes, though, I just wanted to be alone, you know, alone where there was no pressure. Don't need to be the perfect missionary kid anymore for the day. As a young teen in South Africa, I used to climb one particular tree on the compound we lived in. It was a big eucalyptus tree, and I would climb up in there, and it would leave me an unobstructed view across the rooftops of our neighborhood to the skyline of Johannesburg itself in the distance. I'd also built a little hidden fort in the wooded lot across the street that I'd like to go to, you know, read my comics, just hang out, sit in the shade on a blanket. And those are all kind of nice memories, except for what I left out. What's not there is that I was hiding under that car from some bullies who had chased me and a friend, and I got away and remained hidden while they confronted him. The tree is where I'd go to smoke cigarettes, where climbing down, brushing through the fragrant leaves of eucalyptus would mask the smell from my parents. The fort is where I'd go to huff thinners out of a cotton ball, pass out for a few seconds, just already starting to try and numb a pain I didn't know I was feeling and so could never address. What I left out alters things just a little bit. Now, the lectionary reading for today, Psalms 139, verses 1 through 12, and 23 and 24, leaves some stuff out too. So I'm curious, did anybody read theirs during at the Pew Bible, use the Pew Bible to read their scripture? Anyone? Did anyone's eyes rebound off of verse 22 while you were looking for verse 23? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them among my enemies. You have to go back to verse 19 to find out who them is. The request is for God to kill the wicked and the bloodthirsty, those who oppose God in one way or another. That's who the author is hating with a perfect hatred. Perfect because it's inspired by God. Googling perfect hatred will bring up a plethora of sermons and blog posts about hating the sin but not the sinner. That mentality that's out there, you hear that from time to time. Two of the major hot button issues of the day, issues of LGBTQ plus rights and abortion, are often approached with that mentality. Hate the sin, not the sinner. For me, that is just an attempted workaround for the words of Jesus, who tells us to love our neighbors without exception. Without exception. Now, the psalmist has taken it upon himself to judge who needs to be killed, who God should kill for him. How perfectly human. The anti-abortion movement likes to use this psalm, verses 13 through 16 in particular, as proof that life begins at conception. Meanwhile, people who are vying for LGBTQ plus rights use those same verses to try and overthrow the extreme oppression and hatred that is generated towards them by those who hate perfectly. To show that God made them as they are, that they too are children of God and deserve to be loved without exception. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. Reading the entirety of Psalm 139 made me go back and reevaluate the comforting section of God's omnipresence and omnipotence that we just read at the beginning. In the NRSV, the psalm itself is entitled, "The Inescapable God." What a horrific concept for the cigarette-smoking, lying, thinner-huffing, wayward missionary kid who later grew into a drug and alcohol-abusing, people-using, wayward shell of a man. What I had inferred from the conservative dogma I absorbed in the Southern Baptist Church in my early teens was that I was a sinner, just a terrible person, and that God was always watching me. I actually thought God's eyes were laser focused on me, on my behavior, and in my thoughts. And if God knew my thoughts, especially during puberty, I was going to hell. I was too eaten up with fear and shame to understand that. To understand that Christ's salvation is not conditional, nor is the love of God. In my teens, my 20s, my 30s, reading this psalm would have sent me in a shame spiral that would have ended with me passed out somewhere in my house, drunk. That's how I taught myself to hide as an adult. And that's also how I punished myself for being the evil person I knew I was. I find the beginning section of this psalm really interesting, though. It begins in the past tense. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. In my most shameful moments, as I sought relief from my pain in chemically altered states, when I was sleeping around in a mockery of the intimate connections I longed for, when I hated with perfect hatred and used the words of the Bible as something they were not, God was there with me, surrounding me, suffusing me, and loving me still. To me, the supplication in verses 23 and 24, search me, know my heart, test me and know my thoughts, lead me, plans for a different future than my past. I once believed that I had come as far as I did alone. All I had done was use the free will that God gave me, but I was never alone. Now I can move forward knowing that I am still not alone, and that if I want, God will lead the way. May it be so for all of us this week.